This afternoon, we want to continue our study through John's Gospel, and we come to John chapter 7 this afternoon. John chapter 7. So have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 7. We're going to be looking at the first few verses of chapter 7. I don't know exactly how far we'll get this afternoon. Jesus had been in the Galilee region in the northern part of Jerusalem, or the northern part of Israel. He had been interacting with a multitude of people who had followed him from the west side of the Galilee, Sea of Galilee, up to Capernaum. And many of them had attended synagogue with him where he had been teaching. And they were murmuring against him and just really did not understand what he was saying. And not only that, there were Jewish leaders there who really were speaking against him because they understood exactly what he was saying. Jesus was claiming to be God, and he was claiming to be the bread, that which would get spiritual nourishment and spiritual health and spiritual life. And he had proclaimed to be the bread of life. And as when he had said that, the vast majority of the people did not accept what he was saying. And those that had claimed to be his followers or his disciples, they wanted to sit under his teaching, said this saying is too hard, and the majority of them left. And I remember as we closed the last session, he had turned to his disciples and said, "Would you leave as well?" And Peter had said, "Where would we go? Because you are the Messiah." So his disciples understood, except there even was one there who Jesus mentioned that would betray him, one who did not believe, and that would be Judas Iscariot. At this particular time, after this event occurred, it was the fall of the year, and the Feast of Tabernacles was going to begin. The Feast of Tabernacles was one of three feasts that the whole nation of Israel was to go to Jerusalem for. And so the apostles, the disciples, were preparing to go to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. And that's where we pick it up in chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. "And after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry." Just pause here. When it says he would not walk in Jewry, he would not walk or spend a lot of time in Judea and around Jerusalem, where the religious Jewish leaders were, because they were seeking to kill him. They also had no desire to listen to the truth that he was speaking of the fact that he was the Messiah and the purpose that he had come. And that's why he didn't want to walk, as it says here, in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. That is the Jewish leadership. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, "Depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest." So they're just pausing here. They're encouraging him to go to Judea, to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. Now I want you to understand, who instituted these feasts? Who is the one that said the Jews should all go to these feasts? It was Jesus. He had given the Word. The Word is the Lord. We see that in the opening of John's Gospel. It's by his authority that all things were created. He was there to instill the Word of God and to put into place the sacrificial system and the feasts, all which were to be pointing to him. And every one of the Jewish feasts has a direct correlation to a significant event in the coming, the first coming of Christ, and also the second coming of Christ. The Feast of Tabernacles would have speak volumes of the second coming of Christ, where the Lord does come and tabernacle amongst his people during the millennial kingdom. The Jewish people come to accept him as Messiah and Lord at that time, and they tabernacle or fellowship and dwell with the Lord. Well, the Feast of Tabernacles was to look forward to that. It was also to look back to what happened where God brought them out of Egypt and had fellowship with them in the desert. So, like the feast, all the feasts sacrificial system. It had a looking back and a looking forward, and that was what was happening with the Feast of Tabernacles. And they're encouraging Jesus to go. Well, he is the one that instituted the feast. You think, well, he's going to go. Well, let's see what he says. For there is no man that, verse 4, for there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. And so that's what his disciples are encouraging him to do, to reveal himself. For neither did his brethren believe in him. And his brethren would be his brothers, the ones that were the physical children of Mary. They didn't believe in him. You see that throughout the Gospels, they don't believe in him until the very end. And then we see that they come to faith in Christ. Well, what is Jesus' response to them? They're encouraging him, you've got to go. You've got to reveal and show yourself. That's where everybody's going to be. And so you should be the one up there, and you should be showing yourself and who you are. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. So his response to them is, you go, because the world isn't going to come against you. Why wouldn't it? Because they don't fully understand what is happening. And they fully don't have some of them, his brethren, are still walking in the world. They're encouraging Jesus to do things that would be against his really revealing himself to be the Messiah, and they really were speaking against him. Who do you think you are that you would make these claims? If you really say that you are who you are, then go prove it. And his disciples, really, even though they say, yes, you're the Messiah, where else would we go? That they say that on the one hand, and the next hand, they don't understand what his whole ministry and mission is, coming the first time, that he's come to lay down his life, that they could be saved. And so there's this dichotomy of understanding of those that say that they're his disciples, but they're really not, the ones who would become his apostles, but really don't have a full comprehension yet, and Jesus, who says, well, go up. They're not going to persecute you. They're not going to try to put you to death. But he says, they hate me, and they will come against me. And he's exactly right. Every time that Jesus has done miracles or spoken or revealed who he is in various ways, whether it's through the words he shares or the actions he does. For example, when he drove the money changers out of the temple at the beginning of the Gospel of John, or when he made the claims that he did about who he was, that he was truly God come in the flesh, the Jews sought to kill him. And not only that, we also saw that this very same thing happened when he spoke in his own synagogue in his home in Nazareth. They tried to throw him over the cliff there. They're all inspired by, number one, their flesh, but number two, more significantly, Satan. Satan does not want Jesus to go to the cross. Satan does not want Jesus to pay the penalty for men's sins. And Satan wants Jesus to give up his mission in the redemption of mankind. Why? Because Satan is in rebellion against God and has no desire to see God exalted and men come to worship him. So the world that is really Satan's kingdom hates Christ. Has anything changed today? The answer would be no. It's very interesting. During the whole COVID thing, what was the one thing, one institution they made perfectly clear was not critical and didn't need to stay, and that was churches. And they tried to do everything in their power to discourage people not only from attending church, but to make it very, very difficult if you did attend church to really do anything, sit 6 feet apart, put masks on, don't sing, don't really telling God's people how they're to worship the Lord. That's the world. You go to the communist countries today, for example, in China. The state church in China, they have to turn in what their sermons are going to be, and they have to be approved by the government before they can preach them. And what they do is the government tells them what they're going to say and what they're going to preach on. And they can't preach from the Bible. As a matter of fact, Bibles are not supposed to be part of the worship in China and in many communist countries and in Muslim countries. The Word of God is to be kept out of the hands of people. In the history of even the church, when the Roman Catholics are in power, they don't want people to have the Word of God. Why? Because they're motivated not by the Spirit of God and Christ, but they're motivated by a world system that's against God. And so we see that that's exactly who the Jews are motivated by, is Satan, and they desire to see Jesus put to death, but Jesus said, "It's not yet my time." Remember, he used the same words to his mother at the Cana, the wedding feast of Cana, where she said, "You got to perform the miracle. You got to help. They don't have any wine. They don't have anything to give to the guests. They're all out of it." And Jesus, the first thing he said is, "This woman, you don't know what you ask. It's not yet my time." It wasn't yet his time to reveal to him the people who he was, and it's not yet his time to be put to death, and because he needs to be put to death in a certain manner at a certain time. The date was proclaimed by the prophets, and if he went up, it wasn't during the Feast of Tabernacles that he would be put to death. It was during the Passover. So this is the wrong feast, and it's definitely the wrong time. And Jesus is saying, "I'm not going to go there because the Jews desire to kill me. It's not yet my time." When he had said these things, when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. So he remained in Galilee. They went to Jerusalem. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. So he went by himself, unawares, even his disciples weren't aware that he had gone, but he had gone. Why did he go? Well, he had said that you need to go to the feast, and he would go to the feast because he upholds the word, his word, and the authority of his word, and so he's going to go to celebrate the feast because he had established the feast. Now, it's interesting as you look at this, during the Feast of Tabernacles, here you had the King of Glory, the Messiah that had come, and he was in their midst during the Feast of Tabernacles, yet they didn't acknowledge nor recognize who he was or the fact that he was the one that they were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles about, and that one day he would come into the tabernacle with them. He was in their midst, but they failed to see that he was in their midst, and they failed to understand the significance of his being there. And so we see that these are the things that were happening. He goes up in secret, and when he's there, it doesn't take long for them to start beginning to see and hear that he's there. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. Okay, just as there was murmuring, as we said, in the desert about Moses, whenever the people are disgruntled, they murmur. And what is a murmur? A murmur is a complaint. It's a speaking out against. It's talking about. But you don't say it loud and openly. It's kind of under your breath, and you don't want people to really know, but you're really frustrated and angry, and you possess a spirit that's really not a spirit that's seeking God, but it's speaking out against God. And that's what the people were doing. They were murmuring amongst the people concerning him. For some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." And those comments about Jesus haven't changed much today. You've got some people that say, "Oh, well, we like Jesus because he spoke a lot of really good things. He said things like, love your neighbor as yourself. He talked about all these good things that you should do. And so we think that Jesus was a good teacher and a good man. Other people say, well, no, he was some type of crazy person that claimed he was God. And the same arguments are made by people today unless you accept Jesus for who he really is. But if you don't accept Jesus, you're going to view him as something other than the Son of God coming in bodily form, God coming in bodily, in human body form to take away the sins of the world. And they didn't view him as that, so they had all these other views of who he might be. Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. Nobody really talked about who he really might be, that he would be, could this possibly be the Messiah? Why? Because they feared the Jews just as others feared the Jews. Why? The Jewish people, the Jews that they're speaking of here is not the Jewish people per se, but it's the Jewish leadership. And specifically, it would be the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, those that had the power over the Jewish people. They had power that had been given to them by the Romans, and it was really, the power was apart from really what was to be those offices as laid out according to the scriptures, because as we study and we'll see later on in the Gospel of John, the high priest really was not to be the high priest that God had said would be there, because that was specifically to be of a certain line of Aaron, would be the high priest, and they were not. And we also see that the government wasn't the one that placed high priests into office, but they were. We see that the high priests were given the authority by God to rule over the people spiritually and give the people spiritual direction, not a government. And yet we see that all of the latter is what was happening in Israel at this time. This was not being done according to God's word. It was not being done, and because it was apart from God's word, even as the scriptures say, when the righteous shall rule, the people, there shall be joy in the nation. But when the ungodly rule, then there is great suffering. And that's exactly what was happening here. Ungodly men, even though they claimed to be Jewish leadership, were really being directed by Satan in the world. And so people feared the Jews, that is the Jewish leadership. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. Now I want you to know something. You're not going to have Jesus go into the temple and teach and people not take note of who he is. Every time Jesus teaches, people stand amazed. I would love to have Jesus in the midst of us and teach. Wouldn't that be exciting? We were just listening to a message the other night, my wife Roberta and I, being taught by Amir about the two on the road to Emmaus and the Lord teaching them, and how that must have been quite the Bible lesson that they were given by Jesus as he would presented to them the prophets and everything that had spoke about him and about his first coming, about his death and his resurrection, and all the things that they were being taught, and it would have been amazing. And we see that is what Jesus was doing as he went to the temple. He taught the people. And where did he teach them? He taught them from his word. And we see in other portions of scripture, as we'll see here, they stood amazed with the authority with which he taught. Let's just go on and read the next verse. And it says, and the Jews marveled. The Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Okay? What rabbi did he sit under? That's what they're asking. That's the question they're asking. If it would be in the church today, maybe he'd be going, what Bible school or seminary did he graduate from? Who did he learn these things from? The real question is, how can he speak with this authority? Because He's the one that wrote the word and gave it to Moses in the first place. He's the one that is the authority, and he understands this word because it's his word. He's the one that's speaking the very truth that he's opening up to you. And he didn't have to sit under a rabbi. As a matter of fact, it's his spirit that would give any rabbi that really understood the scriptures understanding of the scriptures. Who gave the prophets an understanding of the times and what they should say to the people? God. And who is the one that recorded everything in the scriptures for us? You could say, well, it's men. No, but who inspired the men to write these things down that you and I can have them today? The Spirit of God inspiring the men of God to record the Word of God. And so we see that he's the one, and he's speaking with that authority. Now, we're at the end of our time. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick this up on Wednesday on his response to them, which he gives a response when they say, who taught this guy how to teach? Because he speaks with such authority that they marvel. Well, we're going to see on Wednesday night what his answer is to that. Because you and I need to understand the day in which we live. And Robert and I were just talking at lunch how that there are people in the church today that can't see the events that are happening because they don't believe in Israel. They don't believe in the last times. They don't believe in the rapture. They don't. And if you don't believe in any of those things, how can you possibly believe in what Jesus said would be signs of the last days before he returns? Because they don't understand the Word of God. And they want to deny the authority of God's Word and replace it with a separate interpretation. And we're going to see that where does the real authority for understanding God's Word come from? And it ultimately comes from the Lord. Let's just close this afternoon. Father, I pray that you just help us and help us to understand that Jesus didn't go openly to Jerusalem because he understood the hearts of men and they desired to kill him, but it was not yet his time to die. He had to enter Jerusalem on the day that you said he would enter, in the manner which you said he would enter, for the purpose which you said he would enter, at the time you said he would enter. It wasn't the Feast of Tabernacles, but it was the Passover. And Lord, may we understand that all of these things are recorded in your word and were foretold by prophets in your word. And they were events that happened, historical events, and Father, that they happen just as you said. Lord, help us to realize that just as you said things about the first time you came, likewise about the second. And Lord, help us to long for that day. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn in your hymnals to hymn number 413. 413.